John Von Oben, beginning of the visit with Miss Guthrie and Marvin this Wednesday after supper, the 4th of October, 72. Channel Von Oben, beginning of the visit with Marvin and Miss Guthrie this Wednesday after supper, the 4th of October, 72. Channel Von Oben, and beginning of the visit with Marvin and Miss Guthrie this Wednesday after supper, the 4th of October, 72. Channel Von Oben, beginning the visit with Miss Guthrie and Marvin this Wednesday after supper, the 4th of October, 72.
Getting close to me.
Lord, yes, he's not gonna get close to me. And I'm, guy's gonna eat you up too.
Howdy, sir.
How
are you? How's
it going? Yes, sir, we missed out on it. Just completely missed out, didn't we?
Just completely missed out. Them collards was just delicious.
Confound.
I put a piece of bacon.
Just a little piece?
Little strip about that long.
And backbone?
That's right. And right.
Pork backbone.
That's my favorite. Oh.
And I had hot biscuit and crackling cornbread.
Butter.
I cooked some crackling cornbread to go with the collard.
This is
and neither one of them come. I told Mom and I said, you just wait.
I tell you, this is mine. I'm not going to let them have a single bite of it.
Well, they haven't bothered any of the rest of it, have they?
I won't let them touch it. I won't let them touch it.
They won't eat it?
I'm not going to let them touch it till I
and
have
I don't know when we'll get another chance like that. Golly. Just nothing else to do.
And I cooked a Purdue pie.
Oh, really?
Hey, I'm feeling awful guilty.
Yes.
Oh, my. Don't get him in.
No.
Shame on you. You all ain't no count. I'll have to go out there and put that poor little horse in the stall.
I believe she gets used to it a little bit. She'll go in, like you say.
Well, maybe you ought to put some feed in there.
That's about the best way, is I guess. Is
and get her to go in there and eat her feed.
Oh, follow us in?
Mm-hmm. Just put the feed in there and let her know it's in there and let her go in there and eat it and then let her come out if you don't want to take her off.
Well, it don't work like that.
It don't.
No. You see, this little filly belongs to a great big man.
Mm-hmm.
And all he comes out here and feeds her maybe three times a week. And if he ain't in a hurry, he'll walk her down the lane. He'll walk her down the lane. All the way down the lane. Think of that. So when he comes out here to load her, he expects her to walk on in there. You don't want to just stand there and let her.
Well, have you got a catter chute?
Sure.
Why don't you just lead her up the catter chute?
That might be hard in putting in the trailer, but you could put her, if you had a bottom, you know, not a ram, but a smooth bottom chute, like, where she couldn't turn on,
yeah.
Lead her right on through it in that sand, and she wouldn't have any way to play on you.
That yeah.
That's right.
She'd go in better,
yeah.
A lot better, but what you can do, if you wanted to manhandle her, and it wouldn't hurt her, is to have somebody in front with a rope, you know, like we had in the night out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then take another one and put in the trailer and bring it around the hind parts, right up around here, like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then carry it to the front of the trailer and hook it where you could pull like this in. She'd just walk her right on up in there. She couldn't go this way or that way or back or see, but you can put her in there that way, and next time she'd probably walk right on up in there.
That's well, Margaret, she's such a smart little thing. All you got to do is just let her smell it every now and then.
Yeah.
And she'd go up and eat or anything else. But they don't have time to do all that smelling.
No, sir. They just have 10 minutes to come out here and load her in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that old gray horse we got at the house, Seth, to load him, he's no trouble at all. You just walk him up to the back of the trailer. But first he wants to hold his nose down and smell of the trailer.
Yeah.
And then turn him around, and after you turn him around like this, and walk a complete round, and walk right on up in the trailer with him. He'll follow you right on up in it.
Yeah.
But first, he's got to see what he's stepping on.
Yeah.
Well, you can't blame him for that.
No,
can you?
Not a bit.
Wants to just know what.
That's right. He wants to know if it's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we could have sat there most half the afternoon at eat, couldn't we?
You sure could.
We looked for y'all out Sunday. Didn't make it.
We could have started early and eat late.
What were you doing, Rick?
Not much of anything. Hey, I don't have an excuse.
Hmm?
I sure am going to think about it next time I get hungry, though. I think about it now. Oh, cornbread, too.
Cracking bread of all things. And went ahead and did all that.
You know, Suzanne is out in Texas.
What's she doing up there?
I don't know. She and Jim out there. And you know, I'm sort of glad they're out there. I'm tired of fooling with them.
Expect them and they don't come.
That's right. You can't count on anything.
And then come when you don't expect them. Well, I wonder what she's doing out there.
Well, her parents out there, you know.
No, I thought they were up in Atlanta.
That's his parents.
Oh!
Yeah. She likes his parents more than she does hers. But I don't think she likes either set too well, or too much at one time. I don't know now whether that's right or not.
Well, she's good company. Well, we got to get back. We are tired and
dirty.
Marvin,
wow.
Muddy all over.
Come out of the swamp, mud.
Are you still working on that half mile fence?
Finished it up. Just about finished it up, the half a mile. Now
the mud, you
quarter.
Know, the mud and water. Mm. He finished it up today.
Yeah.
Got to start
the quarter. A big old bear had walked in there.
What?
I run him out of the swamp the other day.
You saw the sign.
Yeah,
so it's dry.
Yeah.
A bear?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I reckon.
He said it was as big as a mountain truck.
I guess he figured it was either me or him, and it wouldn't be me, so it was him. He had to leave. One of us had to go.
Oh.
And I was determined.
A bear won't bother you.
Nah, they ain't gonna mess
mm-mm.
with you.
No.
Well, I just didn't think there was any around.
Well,
there
no,
is,
really. No, this ain't been small bear.
Well, that'd be
nice.
Miss, I seen a bear track right there at the foot of River Stick Bridge that was as big as a grown man track. Now, George Boatman was sitting down there. He used to go sit down there, you know, and just wiggle his toes. And just look across the woods, and we happened down there and stopped with him. And I was just walking around, and I seen where that bear walked. You know, the front feet is round, and the back feet is just like
long.
A coon's. I said, George, I want you to look here where that bear walked. And he looked, and he said, I'll be dogged if he ain't. I said, He walked right on down to the edges of the water and went under the bridge, you know, the bear did. George looked at his stripe. I don't think he goes down and sits down there anymore. And I seen that bear cross down there one day. I seen him. And he was a big one.
So you think George has quit going down and sitting?
You saw him crossing the road?
I seen him cross the road.
He goes.
Marvin and I was hauling pup.
Streaming there.
From O'Keller, and I seen him go across the road. And you know, right down here, after you cross the railroad and turn to go to Evanston, there's a ditch. Who was it come along there one day and they seen him?
I don't remember. Somebody, let's see, whoever it was lived at Boardman and McIntosh. Went over and towed it, and then we went down in to see, and we saw the track.
Seemed like it was Fred Woods.
Fred Woods is the one that was telling us about it, but somebody had told him that he had just come along and seen him.
And his feet, absolutely, his front feet was as big as a plate. He was a pig.
And the front feet around.
Yes, ma'am.
See, the front paws are around like that, and the hind paws are more like a human. Only it kind of curves a little bit on the front.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hind foot there.
Well, that's more than I knew about a bear.
Is that right?
Yes. The track's still there. I'll go look at it.
You wouldn't go in that swamp.
You think you'd be
down
afraid?
In there. This is in, well, down in mud and soupy.
It's a half a mile in there to where it's at.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bogged it up. You couldn't go in there.
Stuff like that. It's rough.
Well, how'd you get in there?
I didn't go in there. Curtis, he was with Marvin today, and he just happened to see it. He says, "What are you doing over there?" Marvin says, "I ain't been over there."
Well, I saw that track before Curtis did.
And Curtis was with you.
Hmm. But Curtis know what he's looking at?
No, he didn't actually know. I told him that I thought that's where a bear went through there.
Yeah.
And he said, "Look like where somebody." I told him, "No, that no anybody went through there."
Yeah.
Well, and that's where you're going to have the cows? You fenced it?
Well, we're fencing off the property that we sold.
I see.
And we'll have the cows on one side of the fence and that property then. You know where y'all rode back in there with us that day?
Yes.
On the back where that bulldozer
yeah.
was?
Yeah.
Well, we were running a fence east and west on that, north and south on that west line.
I see.
Through that swamp back there. Mm-hmm. You know where he went around the thing with his bulldozer? He didn't follow the line because he couldn't.
Oh.
Well, that
he
was...
went a ways.
Oh, that's right.
That's hard fencing.
It has been.
Oh, I see that. What'd you do? Put poles down?
Well, there was, there was already some posts in there that had been in there for years and years. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
I guess who put them in there? Just living there. Well, they were solid enough to hold it, the most of them.
Split oak posts. Can you imagine that?
And then I went.
And just as solid as a rock. I believe they're petrified.
Yeah.
We got some of them there.
What you do with the fence? Just hang it on?
Just nail it on, though.
How you going to nail it?
To them.
You take a drill to get
it on. You can drive a nail in them by hitting it easy, slow.
There's some on the hill that we nailed.
You can drive a nail in a concrete block or a brick by hitting it slow enough.
Is that
right?
Yeah. I've drove nails in a lot of concrete blocks.
It's slow.
Yeah. Take your time. A little lick it to light, lick it to time.
That's the way if you put it in a piece of wood and you don't want to bust it or crack it, just take it slow.
Mm-hmm.
And not close to the end.
That's right. And another way is to take your nail, if you don't want to bust it, take your nail and turn it over and brad the point. It's brad the point, just make it plumb blunt on the point. And then it'll tear its way through and it won't bust.
Hmm.
But as long as it's sharp, it'll bust it. It doesn't seem possible, but it'll work.
Yeah, it looks like it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Yes, that looked like that
one. I want you to just drive over across the road steps and look at that road now.
Oh, where they got it mowed, she's talking about. They got some colored people on them mowers.
That beats all that I ever saw.
And they know what they're talking about and what they're doing.
Oh, really?
They do.
And whenever they get ready to leave them tractors, they leave them tractors in front of the house. And the colored man, he must be the foreman or the boss or something over the rest of them. He makes them line them tractors up like they used to line them GI trucks, and sight down the edge of them, and they ain't a quarter of an inch off nowhere. No wheel.
On our side.
It's spaced just so far from each other, and he won't have it no other way.
Yeah.
They better get it right. And he cuts out every gate, He trims the edge of the yard. There ain't no white man ever done that since that road's been there.
But that sure do some pretty work.
He does the prettiest road work of anybody I ever seen in my life.
Right.
And it's from fence to fence. And he don't break nary wire.
I think this foreman must have been an old army sergeant or something.
That's the best bunch of colored men that I ever seen work.
And they come up to your yard?
Yes, ma'am. They trim the edge of the yard. They trim the gateways.
And hold it straight. They hold it more straight. They don't zigzag in and out.
When they cut a road, they absolutely clean it.
Hmm. And they get up close to your fence?
Yes, sir, they do. It's from fence to fence.
I'd like to see that.
It is. It's just as pretty as it can be.
Is this the first time you've had
it? No, ma'am. They've done that several times.
But, you know, they're the ones that's been mowing it when it's mowed all the year. So. Mm-hmm.
This makes about the third time this year that they mowed it.
Yeah. Well, with them mowing it, you don't need too much mowing
that. They do it just twice this year. Good as the white people did.
Well, let me tell you, these fellas that use these graders on this road out here, I don't know where they learned to do that. But it's just an old dirt road, you see, sandy road, and every time they break that crust, you're just bad shape.
That's right.
They don't pay a bit of attention to it.
I don't know. I don't think they do. Whether they're graders or not.
They're bulldozers, man.
They act like it, don't they? Because I can notice coming up out yonder, they hate to get off too far on the side of that road.
Yeah, that's
right.
Fall off in that ditch, you wouldn't get out. And you know, we used to have grade go by the house before the hard surface of the road. And every time they come along the grade, it did steal a little bit.
Yeah.
You know. And eventually they got about 2 feet of grade that done stole from you.
You know, I've seen them grade many a time, Marvin, but my trouble is, after I got up old enough to, you know, really pay attention, I wasn't out there. So I don't know exactly what they did. And I wished I did, because we always, you know, in them days, we took care of our own road in front there. Or, you know, you contribute so many days. And I can just see those roads when we was working on them. But I'm not sure just how we did it. But I somehow have a feeling that they knew how to sort of bed up the road and not, you know, not make a great ceremony of it.
Well, this road out there, it's not even leveled off. I mean, it's not even sloped. Is it?
No.
It just looked like to me they just dug a ditch and put some dirt up on the edge of the road and let it go at that.
Yes. And when it's dry, they'll throw a lot of dirt up in the road.
Mm-hmm.
Them little tractors sitting in front of the house looks like little toys.
They really got
them. The way
them
they
lined.
Got them fixed. You know?
And spaced.
And they take care of that equipment too.
That old sergeant, he sees it's done right.
Well, it'd be nice to know where he come from, wouldn't it?
Isn't it the truth? If I just knew who put him out there, I'd go and call him up and tell him about what a wonderful job he'd done.
Yeah.
Marvin, I told Marvin one day when they was out there before, I said, I want you to congratulate him. And he did, and you could tell it just done him good.
I thought he appreciated it.
But they do a wonderful job.
Yeah. Three tractors? Mm-hmm. And he's a foreman.
He rides a truck, yes.
He rides a truck. Mm-hmm.
Of course, he sees that everything is taken care of, you know, grease and all water and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, if that mountain boy had done like that, parked his tractor, whereas it he got there, my dog wouldn't have got killed on that road. Mm-hmm.
Them mountain boys ain't what they used to be.
Or not what they're supposed to be.
My man got beat.
Oh, Miss Mary.
Don't tell me.
Dad. Well, Dad, yeah, you didn't good. Expect that.
He got whipped.
You know, I didn't even vote.
Well, you know what the Hawthorne and registered, and they told me I couldn't vote. But I got Marvin in the road yesterday to go vote, and I went with him, and they told me I could vote.
Uh-huh.
That my name was on the books, and I went in and I voted.
Yeah. See, we missed out on that thing. I just can't keep up with all of it.
Well, I know it.
What was that, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. She's been off, you see.
She's got
loose ends. Just at loose ends over here. And keeping things straight.
I'm all a day or two behind.
But I tell you, last night it was a show. They tried for an hour more. Just they ain't having a chance in the world getting that little filly in the thing. He was Hellstrom, that big 6.5 or 8 foot fella.
Six.
And they tried for way up till dark.
Yeah, it was. Almost just like when they stopped, they came in.
They didn't do a bit of good. But you know, the horses got so much more sense than they have. Just as soon as they quit monkeying with it, she'd just go ahead and graze and come up and nose them a little bit. Didn't matter to her, you see, except she didn't want it. She didn't want that old trailer.
They were handling her so incorrectly that she started rearing. She'd come up to the trailer and then she'd just go up on the hind legs. And when you get like that, you'd better start all over again.
No, when they get like that, why, they've just about been there.
They found out what they can do with you.
Yeah, yeah. They got the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
They died having trouble.
What now?
School. That Hawthorne stuff over there, starting all over again.
What's happened?
Oh, just all that fighting and carrying on over there. I just accidentally called them the other day to see how they're doing, and she was in bad shape. You know how it is when your children get the shirts tore off of them.
Yeah.
No matter whose fault it is or how it happens, you still don't like it, do you?
Well, you know, Marvin's got a nephew, and he was going to school over there, and he had some trouble with some colored boys.
Yeah.
So he's married now, and he's got a wife, and he's got a baby. And he was out there fooling around Grove Park at a juke, and these here colored boys come along that he had some trouble with, and all I hear is so many different ways. I don't know what happened, but anyway, some of his brother's wife's sister's husband and his brother had Wayne out there, and they was going to bully him, and them niggers didn't do nothing but go home and get the gun and come back and shoot him.
Why, Miss?
Well, they picked out. They pick at them and call it people.
They ain't got no business doing it.
Wouldn't bother them. All them kids, they do it. They pick at them colored children.
Do they?
Yeah. They sure do. And that's the trouble. I don't think they would go ahead and ignore them. I think
and treat them right.
It'd be all right. But you little nigger, you go on, you don't belong here, or something like that. Well, they don't like that. You can't.
And they can't help being in their
own way. They can't. I mean, they didn't ask. I mean, the little kids didn't ask to go to that school.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, when Ms. Dodd went to Alachua General for her operation, she told me, she said that she told her doctor that if a nigger nurse come in there to wait on her, she was going to get up and walk out. I said, well, Ms. Dodd, you need not walk in because you sure have a colored nurse. Now, isn't that silly?
Yeah.
Oh, she doesn't care for to get too close to him.
Oh, no.
Huh.
Well, you see, under those circumstances, you never know just what happens.
No.
That's true.
You never get
it. You know, you
say it.
I'll tell you one thing. The kids is always coming home with something that somebody done to me.
Yeah.
But they don't tell what they done to the other one.
Yeah, that's right. They never do.
And they're not sisters.
They're not sisters?
I'm not taking up for the colored people at all, but...
Well, I don't know. Sometimes
all these little Dodd children are well behaved, Miss Mary.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
We know
yeah.
that.
I know that. Yes, sir.
They go to school to learn.
I stayed over there with them when Miss Dodd went and had her last baby.
Did they tackle you?
They didn't bother me, but Miss Dodd had a brand new mattress, the nicest bed that money could buy. And Johnny and every one of them got up there. They went in her room and they took the sheet off of the bed. They took the blankets off, the bedspreads, and they got up on that headboard and they jumped on that mattress. Every one of them was barefooted, just as dirty as they could be. And I said, I'm going to tell Mr. Dodd when he comes home. They wouldn't pay one bit of mind to me, but when his lights come down that lane, you could hear the pin drop. And I carried Mr. Dodd. I said, Mr. Dodd, I want to show you something. And they busted that mattress, that brand new mattress. And it was a lovely thing.
It cost $100.
Or more. And I carried him in there and I showed him his boots and Ms. Dodd's clothes and the sheets and the pillowcases. They even taken the pillowcases off of the pillar. I said, when Ms. Dodd comes home, she ain't going to have a bed to sleep on. Daddy, I didn't do that. Daddy, I didn't do that. I said, no, I done it, didn't I? And I told them then, whenever they wanted somebody to take care of the young ones, to go get somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
And you know, she made Mrs. Roebuck replace that mattress.
Oh?
Yes, sir.
Well, how would you do that?
No, she just went and told him that it busted.
Well, let me do it.
And no wonder it busted.
Well.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Well, that's the terriblest bunch of kids I ever seen in my life. I ain't never. And every one of them, you know, they used to crawl up in the tree.
Yeah.
And Tommy fell out one day and like they got killed.
Yeah.
Miss Dodd was home.
They, I've seen them jump out in that water. And they're diving and all like that, playing water sports, water games. And they really just like dolphins or things like that. I wasn't there that they hit in the air. Two of them jumped in and hit in the air, and what'd he do to them?
Well, I don't know. One of them chucked a water bucket down there and hit Tommy on the head, Miss Dodd said, and knocked him out. And said, Mr. Dodd just happened to come along and find you. and said, John, no, she said that Mr. Dodd asked what Tommy was crying about. And Johnny said nothing, said I hit him in the head with a water bucket. I'm telling you, that's some crew.
Well, I wonder how Johnny's going to treat them little bulls I sent over there.
Well, I don't know how he's going to treat them, but he carried his dog upstairs and tied him at the window and let him jump out and hang himself.
Why, Marshall?
The one you know that they carried way up in Alabama?
That had his eyes, you know, operated something on his eyes. You remember that big collie-looking dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as they got him back, Johnny carried him up in the barn.
Mr. Dodd told him to carry him up in the loft in time.
And he tied him close to the window, close to the door, and the dog jumped out.
And hung himself.
The door and hung himself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mr. Dodd cried about it and cried about it.
Well, I thought big as Johnny was, why, he'd have had sense enough to see that the dog couldn't have got to the door. You know, you can shorten ropes.
Well, Johnny's not.
I don't
very
know.
Thoughtful.
But
know.
He's
I
a smart
he's
boy.
Smart.
Yeah.
He's smart enough not to have any work to do.
He can drive that tractor?
I don't know, but yeah, shoot, he don't do nothing.
Yeah, I thought he'd been in Nashville, Tennessee, not playing music.
Oh, he got a trombone?
Oh, he got that 3 or 4 years ago, you remember?
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
Playing in the school band or something, no.
Does he just keep it there?
I don't know. I haven't heard much of it. Good
I haven't even seen it.
Me either.
You know good way you did
I
it.
I didn't say I heard it once or twice.
You told him once.
He done what? What did he do?
What is it? I know what I'd have told him.
He told him and the music wanted to have to go. We better quit talking about. I never see Miss Dodd, you know. I've been going to the woods and staying in the woods.
Staying in the woods?
I'm about gone wild. I think that's the best place for me, right back over there.
Yes.
Where I'm at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe we can tame that bear.
The farther from the road, the better.
Yeah.
Back with
right.
The bear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I lived along the road, I know what I'd do. Every time a car passed, I'd look out.
No, you wouldn't. You'd get to where you wouldn't pay no mind to them. You just think you would.
Yeah.
You'd just be so calm until you wouldn't even pay a bit of mind to it.
Well, You know, when people pass.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell by the sound almost if you
no.
know the car?
No,
sometimes
ma'am.
I think I can coming up.
Well,
if you've got a neighbor that you see real often, you know, and hear the car,
loud
you can
noise
tell.
Or a different, you know, rattle or something in the car, you can tell pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's the last pass. He said he didn't think he could get any more.
Well,
were they firm?
Yes, sir. They was pretty good.
Well, he got something, hadn't he? He got a couple of acres of those.
Well, they make the best stuff like this, I think.
Yeah.
You haven't even tasted it.
I just got in. We didn't eat last night, and this is the first night we've had anything to eat.
Yeah.
And I'm going to...
We'll look at it for a week or two.
I just wanted everybody to see how pretty they were. And we're going to open them. I'm going to put them in the ice.
This is real good here.
Oh, I've already
But
tasted.
I think you've had that in the refrigerator, huh?
Yeah, keep it in the refrigerator.
Uh-huh. I've already tasted it. It's really good.
It's good on bread.
Oh, yeah. I never had any pear marmalade. These are so pretty. You didn't...
You know, I'll tell you the truth. I just sitting over here, I haven't seen anybody in so long. You know, I look back at that reunion we went to, or anniversary, what was it, over to church that day?
Homecoming.
And I look back at that and I think, well, what excitement we didn't have.
And
I haven't done anything since then, Faye. I don't know why I live such a dull life.
Well, we haven't been to any of the houses.
We the same way. We don't go anywhere.
Seems like to me we
only to buy fence and fence post something to work with.
That's a great job, isn't it?
It is.
Well,
and just work. We don't do anything.
Yeah. I was in hopes one time. Rick don't know any of those people, your friends over there.
I ain't got no friends over there.
Well, some of your old friends, former friends. You know the deacon. What's his name?
Guy's friend.
My friend. You know my friend over there.
No.
What he was going to see, and you told him he better not go too close. What's his name?
He's the one that
says. Oh, I know. You know, I seen him in Hawthorne the other day, and he said, I sure want you to come back to church. I said, you do. He said, I sure do. He said, I want to beg you to come back. I said, well, I ain't got my mind set up when I'll ever go back.
You mean you just told him? Didn't give him any hopes?
No, sir. He said him and his wife was coming out to see us. I said, well, you just do that.
Maybe they'd come see me.
Oh, he ain't going to come out there.
Well, he has been out there.
Yeah, but he ain't coming out there.
He's, I never talked to him, you know. We just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I don't either. No thing about that man.
His name is interesting.
Irvin Orman.
Irvin Orman. Rick, you haven't seen everything until you see him. We went to that homecoming. I didn't know anybody. And I kept calling people something, you know, and there's always the wrong name. I just got them all mixed up. But this fella... He impressed me. You see, he'd sit up on the front seat, close to the front. And he's a big fella, and he had on that dark suit, black, I guess. And from where I sat, I could look at him, and his ears were floppy. You know, a lot of people look like that. If you look at him the wrong direction, you see. And but if anybody called, if the preacher called on anyone to say anything, he'd just get up and tell them, wouldn't he?
You know, a empty wagon makes a loud noise.
Yeah. And he would he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the singing. I couldn't. I was sitting back of him, but I imagine he could sing.
But you know what disgusted me out there? As long as Marvin and I've been going out to the church, they've been talking about doing something to the church house, the inside of the church house.
Yeah.
And so Marvin and I, we told them that now the agreement was, you know where the altar is, Well, that's what I call the front of the house. Of course, it's the back of the house. But then, yeah, you know, if the preacher called you up at front, you'd go up there. Well, we told them that we would buy ceiling and seal from the two front windows back around the altar, fix that up. And told the preacher that. Well, we were out there at church that night, and the preacher got up and announced it, told them what we said, and that everyone was just in for it. And if we'd go ahead and finish that, well, the front of the church, it wouldn't take but just a little bit to fix that, and they'd do that. And they had it all planned out. So, they appointed Mr. and Marvin got up there and told them that night that if they would put the paneling up, he said he had a job and he was working, and on weekends he had to tend to the cattle and to the farm, and they all agreed to it. Well, when we went and got the paneling then, Marvin was so anxious for the church house to be fixed, let him go out there and put it up.
Well, what happened, in place of getting the stuff that we were supposed to have got for the what we call half of the church and the whole altar. All right. They went ahead and figured the whole thing, the whole entire church.
And we bought every bit of it.
And we told them, we said, y'all figure it, see how much it's going to take, and we'll meet up yonder to wherever you want to buy it, let us know, and we'll go up there and y'all get what you think it's going to take. And we'll pay for it.
And the color.
All right. They went up then and figured enough to do the whole church, the entire inside the church, which was all right. Well, we paid for it.
But and you they, all paid for it.
Yeah,
yes,
we paid
ma'am.
For every foot of it, every inch of it. Then that was all right. We
they
didn't,
wouldn't
we
go
didn't
out there and work on the church house because Marvin weren't there, and I was sick too, you know. I was fat off at that time, and Marvin went out there 3 half a days and left me home in the bed and helped with the church. Well, the banisters around the altar, you can't touch them.
I said to some of them,
what in the world are we going to do about that? We should fix that. We ain't gonna do nothing about it. If you want it fixed, you fix it. But we're through.
But then after telling them, you know, that she was sick, and I says, on weekends I need to be at home. I says, Saturdays is the only day, and Sundays is the only day I got to take care of things. I was working at the university at that time.
And on Saturdays I had to go to the doctor.
And I had to take her to O'Keller most times to the doctor on Saturday. So that was fine. That was well and fine. But when we got the stuff and got it out there, they wouldn't do because they wanted me out there to help them. See?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you gonna do? You can't do it all.
And I went and bought curtains.
So.
See, it was a light. It's a real light tan. It's real pretty. And I got some green curtains to go over the window. And we even talked about buying a big, beautiful picture, you know, to go in front of the church window. Did you know that they would, there's not a one of them, I didn't even talk about it.
I mean, anybody can just
kill you can't
so much.
Do one thing in the world out there. You can't do nothing.
Well, now, you've got all your neighbors and everybody out there.
I haven't got any neighbors out there.
Well, Snow and all them was
they,
out there.
Snow and them ain't no
they
neighbors to us.
They didn't want to do much.
They didn't.
After they said they would.
Oh, didn't they?
Don't care what in the world
it is.
They're
the ones we're talking about now.
Yeah.
They're the very ones that kicked up so much sand.
And you all paid for it.
Every dime of it, I've got the receipt. Bought it up yonder at Scotty's.
Well, what happened to it all?
Put
There was a banquet put up. I went out there and helped him put it up. Three half a days. And then a fellow, Willis and Gainesville, he was more or less the main one it was, you know, helping. So I think he got enough of help and eventually got it. Most of it up.
Yeah.
Or all of it up.
But it was really pretty in the top of it. They were going on, we were going to go. I was going to help them fix it.
Yeah, I told them.
I said, I'll do my part. And we're going to fix the top of it. If you want to fix, you fix it, huh? You want to, I'm done with it.
Well, gee whiz, I thought they were workers out there.
Shoot.
But then, they don't seem to want to help you do anything, you know. You can go ahead, well, and buy the stuff and set some days aside to do this thing, and well, maybe one will show up, or maybe two will show up, or maybe nobody will show up. Well,
oh, really?
You can't go along with that kind of doing.
You don't get very far.
No.
Well, I didn't realize that. I thought they'd be just ready to go.
Well, that's what I thought too, but I found out different.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hadn't had any experience out there before?
Mm-mm.
Not like that.
Not like that.
Well, now they should, if they hadn't wanted it fixed, didn't want to mess with it, they ought to got right up in the church house and said, we don't want it.
No, let's don't do it.
But every one of them was in for it. And we was going to fix from the two front windows, I call it, all around the altar. Well, then they weren't so much in the back to fix. Mm-hmm. And they was going to put up a new door, and we was going to fix the top, and...
Well, I don't suppose the rest of it cost more than $50 more, so we didn't complain about that at all.
No, but it's the way they done about it.
Yeah.
But if they would have went ahead and got it up in place of kicking so bad about it, and if they hadn't wanted to help, if it would have been me, I would say, well, I just can't help. I got my own work to do or something like that. Do like I did.
Mm-hmm.
Say I have to be at home on Saturday and Sunday. That's what I told them, but I found out I didn't have to be.
Well, who was the preacher then?
Daniels. And he went out there every day and helped put that stuff up.
That's right. He was there.
That's right.
The preacher was
there.
Sure
did. He done more than anybody.
He done his part.
Yeah.
Well, how about
Irvin? As far as work's concerned. Irvin never did go.
Uh-uh.
Well, he passed the carpenter stage.
No, he isn't either. He's not too old to nail a nail.
Well, I know, but he's...
Well, he was a deacon. He didn't have to go out there.
Yeah, he was big shot.
He's important.
Yeah.
Anybody can make all the announcements, you see, and then do the praying. They don't have to work.
There's a fella said, do all the footwork.
Yeah.
That was the funniest thing that ever was. That guy went over to Miss Mary's one night, and he said, now there's one fella that I know is a good son. He is really something.
And I, you know, if I had a little church, I sure would be proud to have somebody like that. And they just gave me a horse laugh. I'm telling you.
Yes. He would like to go down and visit this fellow. He never got there, Miss Mary.
Do you think his house still is? You might. Wouldn't want to get too close to it.
I don't know.
I don't know. We went there several times and the house was off limits to us. I don't know.
You mean you didn't invite you in?
That's right.
Just stopped on the porch?
Just stopped at the gate.
Stopped on the road.
Yes. Well, that sounds promising.
Yeah. Makes you want to go back sometime.
Oh, by the way, did I tell you about we found the moonshine still?
Oh, yeah.
What's this?
Really?
Did I tell you
old,
that?
It was old, but we found it.
No.
Or is it down there?
It's down there, back of our property.
And it wasn't even ours.
We seen something out there in the woods, you know?
Yeah.
Marvin says, I'm going out there and see what that is. I said, I'm going to wait for it. We went out there, and the revenue had chopped it up.
That was old time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's still there.
Oh, my.
The brick furnace and everything, oh.
Oh, really?
What do you think? We could redo it?
Now, you never did operate anything like that.
No, sir. I wish I could see. Do you ever remember seeing old Granny the Hillbillies on TV in operation?
No.
Well, they had one. You know, old Granny had one.
Yeah.
And
I wished I'd seen that.
And I just wished I could see one in operation and see what it looked like.
Well, there's several different types of them things.
I wish I could see them.
I've seen them many a gallon maybe, and never made a gallon, never made a drop in my life.
You were too drunk.
No, I wasn't drunk. But I've seen them many and a many a gallon of it made.
I bet you were too drunk.
I wasn't drunk. I didn't drink it then.
Well,
I wish I could see some, maybe. I really do.
Oh. Well, when you were growing up, I was right plentiful around there, Mom.
Well, one day I seen something pass home on a truck, and the whole canvas was just a flip of flopping, and I said, somebody's moving. They got a sewing machine on the car, and they're about to lose the cover off of it. And that evening, Marvin got his horse and went down on the lake to look at the cows, and he heard something like the brr 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 just to go in. And a man stuck the gun out from behind the tree and said, "Halt!" And he was out there just a making moonshine.
Well, I'd seen a car sitting up there in the swamp. I knew it wasn't supposed to be out there, and I was investigating.
Uh-huh.
And this guy was between, he had his moonshine still, not too far from the car.
Oh, really?
But he said evidently he seen me coming. And he met me halfway, only he had the tree on me.
Oh.
And I didn't see him.
You didn't see him?
No, I had my mind on that car. I wanted to know what that car was doing out there.
Yeah.
And he stepped out from behind that tree with that gun and said, "Stop." I stopped.
Yeah.
And then I induced myself and asked him what his business was out there, and he told me.
Oh, he did?
Oh, did he?
And carried me on up there and showed me what he was doing.
Oh, did he?
All about it. Yeah, he wasn't bashful about it at all.
That'd been a little while ago?
Yeah, it's
been a long time.
He said, "Now, if you won't say nothing about it, I'll keep you in drinking whiskey."
Yeah.
I told him, I told him right where to leave it.
Uh-huh.
And he left it.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Poured every time he run.
Now that's cooperation for you. I wish we.
And did. I didn't say anything about it, but I was pulling jury duty there pretty often, about once a year. And
yeah.
They got me on jury, and the where they were selling this moonshine to old colored woman in Gainesville, I didn't know where they were selling it and didn't care. But they were selling it to her, and the law had caught her and told her that if it would tell who she was buying it from, they'd let her go. Well,
set up a trap to catch them.
And they set a trap to her to catch them. And who come in to be tried but them two fellas?
You were on the jury.
One of them's name was Godwin, and the other one's name was what?
They didn't hold it against you.
Oh, no. Marvin, you weren't on their trial.
No, I wasn't on their trial. I was, they pulled me off of that particular trial. No, I wasn't on their trial.
Yeah.
They come up there one day and he was gone. They didn't know who I was. And that car was loaded down. There was three of them. And they said, "Miss Townsend." And I wasn't even Miss Townsend. They said, "Could I leave a package for your husband?" I knew who he was. And they said, I said, "Yes, sir." And they left him a quart of shine. and they asked me about going through the woods, and I said, no, if I was you, I wouldn't try that. I said, that road's too bad, it's too wet. If I was you, I'd just strike this road and go right on, and they did. But they were loaded down with moonshine.
Yeah. But it didn't last long.
Didn't last long. Because this old colored woman, see, they caught her selling it.
Yeah.
And she set a trap for them to get caught.
Yeah.
And they were sent off.
Yeah.
Godwin and who was it, you know?
So they went.
They were from Stark.
Mm-hmm. I know that other guy's name, the last name, but I can't think of it.
Hans.
They just come down there because they thought it was sort of back country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it'd be, and I guess it was. It was by the same.
But this year's still here, back of our place. I know who that belongs to, and I never seen it before. That belonged to George Baltnight.
That belonged to some man Baltnight, the manager.
Frank Hines.
Yeah.
Frank Hines used to make moonshine all over that country.
Did he make it or have it done?
No, he did.
He had it done.
Yeah. And did it sell.
And did it sell.
Yeah.
Oh, he was into it, wasn't he?
Yes, he was into it.
Yeah,
well, Marvin, he had pretty, he took a chance just telling you and showing you where it was, didn't he? You could have told on it.
Yes, I could have, but he figured he might as well. I was going to find it anyway.
Yeah, that's right. He was that.
Well, you know, I wouldn't tell it on anybody.
No, I wouldn't.
If I knew where they was one and they didn't bother me.
Sure.
And didn't bother anything that I had, they could be there and right on and right on.
The thing about it is they can make it and they can sell it, but they can't make a person drink it. Now, if a person is not willing to drink it, they sure can't make it.
I'm telling you now, there's more drunks right now since they prohibition come in into effect than there was before. When people used to could just make it and sell it and drink it like they wanted to, they weren't near as much meanness going on. If a man got drunk, he didn't do nothing but get out in the sand and hoop and holler and get dirty and roll and
ain't no telling what else.
Maybe cuss a little bit.
Yeah, so.
That's right. I'm telling you, a little less shine, but live in the spirit.
And I guess some of that shine was pretty good.
It
was good. Them fellas made some good whiskey. But even if they hadn't left me the whiskey, I still wouldn't have told them.
Sure. Didn't
make any difference to me. They wasn't bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they knew just people around like that, but it wasn't no bother.
That's right.
I don't imagine there's not many that ever, you know, that be out there like Marvin. There would be many that ever bother them, would they?
I don't think so. But then, you know, they had a way of making that. Now, what they had one of these big guest old burners.
Yeah.
And they had them, look like a gas tank off in a Model A or a Model T.
Yeah.
And they had that full of kerosene. Well, in the top of it, they had a valve stem. And they had an old pump, old tar pump, that they pumped air in that thing. They had that thing full of kerosene. And pressured that kerosene down a tube to the burner.
Yeah.
Well, that burner was under that still and a burning like crazy.
Oh.
No smoke, no nothing.
Oh!
They had a nice little rig there.
What do you know? Somebody really worked it out. Gee whiz. And then you was around when they got it and hacked it up?
No, you mean the whiskey?
Yes, still?
Oh, no. I just seen the thing working. And, I didn't stay there for the fellow says for the makings.
And, I mean, after the law got out there.
The law never did come out after that. They just went and picked them up delivering the whiskey.
Oh.
They never did get that still. Now, I think some of their people must have come out there and got still and hauled it out after they got caught.
Yeah.
And the old barrels that they had there that they soured the mash in, I think they're still there. I seen them last year, I think, down in a pond where it's rolled off in a pond down there.
But the revenue men chopped this one up for
the one we found.
Yeah.
They chopped it all up with a hatchet, something like that.
You know, that's a shame, man, in a way. That's destroying personal property.
Yeah,
well, it sure is, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, old George Bucknight isn't sociable and talk, you know. He don't talk plain, does he?
No, sir. No.
But he don't talk anyhow. You never see him.
George Bucknight?
No.
No, I never see him.
Well, that's the way they can go and plunk down people.
Not now. You used to see him.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you see him anymore?
I don't know. They don't need me.
Well, you don't see anybody anymore.
That's right.
Well,
it's just good to where people haven't got time to visit, that's all.
I don't know, things really got upside down, haven't they?
They sure have.
Yes.
People don't need people. They think they don't need anybody.
It used to be people had more time than knew what to do with.
Yes.
Now you just don't have the time.
Yes, that's right. You run a little behind all the time.
That's right.
Well,
you ought to done yesterday what you're trying to do today.
I'd love to be out there at old George Bucknight and make a little jag or two of it.
Oh, he's too lazy now.
I don't think he fools with that anymore. I don't believe he does.
He don't need to now.
George is too lazy.
Yeah.
I imagine he needs to.
He eats. He eats a lot.
George?
Isn't he?
I expect he does.
But people that eat a lot, they're satisfied. They don't have to, you know, they're not nervous.
You're wrong.
I told George. Old George, he's pretty smart, though. I went up there one day and everybody was busy.
Go ahead.
Everybody's just as busy racking them lines and baiting them hooks and things, except George. And he was sitting there on the back of the truck, barefooted in his, with his feet crossed and wiggling his toes.
Yeah.
And I said, George, I says, how is it that everybody's working but you? I says, how do you rate? He kind of laughed. He said, well, he says, I tell you. He says, I got to think. He says, I got to think where to put these lines out. He says, somebody got to have some brains in the family. I thought that was pretty good, you know. He couldn't do the work because he had to think. He couldn't work and think.
I never had seen him rack up the lines until I saw him over there.
Yeah.
I didn't know what they meant when they called him racking.
Oh, I'd love to rack him up a little bit with him.
Yeah. You ever see?
But I stopped once twice, but they never invite me to sit down.
Oh, no.
Well, I'd say, well, I believe I'll just pull up a chair if you don't mind. What would they do? Just run me off.
They let me watch him when I came in, because I never had seen him before.
He went in to Gainesville one day. And he was barefooted.
Yes.
And he had on an old ratty coat to buy him a Buick. And the Buick people wouldn't even talk to him about it because they didn't think that he had the money to pay for it.
Yeah.
And he pulled out the money and bought him a brand new Buick and paid cash for it.
Yeah.